Let's everyone get your hymnal this morning. I'd like to see a smile. How many are glad that you're here this morning? All right, let's smile, and we've got something to be smiling about, something to be happy about. We're here. We are up. Maybe a dragging a little, but anyway, the Lord knows it, and we're here to worship Him. Let's put a smile on face. Look like you're glad that you're here. Glad that people look at me. Hey. So let's turn in your hymn book down to number 34. Number 34.
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. Listen His voice. Leave with Him.
There's no glad day after Excuse me. Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you're here visiting with us, I just welcome you to join in with us as we sing praises to the Lord and break the word here in just a little bit. We've had a really good fellowship and lesson time in our class this morning, as I know y'all did as well. So if you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed a blessing, but we're glad you're here now. I was walking through that hall back there just a minute ago, and I just happened to look at one of those pictures, and it was old Brother Jeff, and he had on his goulash thing down with his head, you know, his ears all covered up, and a big overcoat jacket and all that stuff, and Jeff, it's coming, hopefully shortly. This is the 1st of September, and so we're looking at fall right here. I love fall. But while the rest of us are running around in short sleeves, Jeff will have his jacket on. I love you. You know I do. Those pictures are still up out there. If you get a minute, go by out there and look at them. Miss Mary Lou did a lot of work, and there's a lot of history. And I enjoy looking at them. As far as I'm concerned, you can leave them up year-round. I like them. Okay. Few things this morning in our bulletin. This morning we'll have our building fund offering. So the second time the plate is passed around, it goes to the building fund. And like Brother Russ said earlier, that fund does a lot of repairs and improvements and projects that we have here at the church. And we've got some stuff going on now and some things coming up. So please keep that in mind when the plate is passed. Tuesday night at September the 3rd, that's this Tuesday, 6 o'clock, the Lord's Supper prepared by Sister Georgia Harrison. So I encourage all of our church members to come back for that service. Sunday evening, September the 8th, will be our business meeting. Normally that would be tonight, but because it's the end of our physical year, we've postponed it a week so that the reports and stuff can be made final. I encourage you to plan on coming. That'll show you everything that we've done in the last year, some of the things that we have in mind, the financial stability of the church. There's just a lot of stuff that will be talked about in those reports. And so even if you're not a member, if you're just thinking about it, or if you're just coming here and you want to know how the church is doing, that would be a good night to come to a business meeting. So I encourage you to come for that. And nursery attendance this morning is LaVita Kaiser, Vicki Ragsdale. Next Sunday will be Cindy and Miss Jerry Harrison. Is there anything else coming up that I left out?
Turn to number 81. Number 81.
There will be a happy morning in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below. Gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious
I've asked Linda Gale to help me on a song that I think we've done a few times. It's been a while. It's entitled, Angels Will Carry Me Home.
Okay, a couple things I did forget. There's an ordination service for Brother Thad Allen, September the 8th. That's next Sunday, 2 o'clock. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church in Malvern. So all of the ordained brothers have been invited to that, and anyone else that would like to attend, I know they would appreciate the support. Also, I forgot to mention that Brother Gene, our song leader, is a little under the weather, so Brother Travis, thank you for doing a wonderful job as always, and we pray that Gene gets to feeling better soon. You know, he's getting a time off, so if he gets feeling better, he may have to sing two or three specials for us, but we'll just have to twist his arm a bit. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. You know, I wasn't expecting that nice rain we got yesterday afternoon. This rain is about to kill us in our work. I never, ever dreamed that I would be griping about rain in August. So we're not going to gripe much. It could be 110 and dry as a bone, and it's not. And so we take what God gives us, and we enjoy the little bit milder summer. And I don't know, Jeff, it may mean a harsher winter. I don't know. We'll see what it is when it gets here. It's good to be here this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about Satan this morning. And we're going to be reading some, out of Ezekiel 28, Ephesians 6, and Revelation 20. Now, You know, I was thinking that this very easily could be a series. There's a lot in the Bible about Satan. I haven't approached it that way. That's not what God laid on my heart, but someday He may. I'm going to try to get through as much of this as I can this morning, but it's going to be important that you go back and you study some about Lucifer yourself when you get a minute, because, like I said, there's a lot in there. Satan. We call him Satan. We call him that old devil. His name is really Lucifer. One of three archangels, if you will. Only three angels held the position of power like this when God created them and placed them in those positions. Satan, Lucifer, decided to go against God, and God cast him out. We're going to talk about that a little as we go. Now, he is a fallen angel. He was created by God. He is the arch enemy of God even to this day. He is the unholy small g god, or the prince of this world. We battle with him and his cohorts all the time. But something that I think that maybe we don't focus on enough when we talk about him. We give him all this allure of this great power, and he is a very powerful being. So don't take that for granted. But his eternal destiny is the lake of fire and brimstone. It's already set. Now, I want to talk to you about Satan this morning because I feel like that there's a lot of misconceptions in our society today about Satan and about his power and his role. If we're not careful, we may even get the idea that Satan is on equal terms with God. I've heard many people say that before. This battle that's going on, who's going to win? Well, let me tell you something. God has already won. Okay, that battle's already been fought. The war has already been won. And Satan is awaiting the carrying out of his sentence. Now, if you ever been around the courts and things like that, you know that oftentimes people go before the judge and they're sentenced to a term, and that term may not start right whenever the sentencing is. It may be a while before it starts. So that's kind of where Satan is. He's got free reign down here until God says to Jesus, go bring my children home. Then that's all going to change. I've heard people, and there are some religions out there in the world that think and believe and even proclaim that Jesus and Satan are brothers. There's nothing further from the truth than that, because Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning, God, Jesus was there. Jesus was there when Satan was created. Now, something I think that we need to grasp is that God is God, okay? God always has been God. God still is God. And God will always be God. And we, nor Satan, or anyone, or anything else will ever change that. That is God. Now, Satan, as I said a while ago, is an angel created by God. And he is the one that decided that one day he decided that he wanted to be God. And so he rebelled, and he gathered this army, this troop of other angels who followed him, and they tried to overthrow God. Let me tell you something, friend. God's throne was never in jeopardy, because God is God. And just like God created this earth, just like God created us, God is in control of everything that we see. God has always been in control of the angels as well. Okay, you see, God being God, though, he allowed the angels choice, just like he allows us choice. Now, God gives choice because when we choose God's way over our own way and our own desires, then God gets honor and glory from the choice that we make. But don't fool yourself, folks. If we don't choose God's way, then there are repercussions coming. And because God is a righteous God, God cast Lucifer and those other angels who who chose self over God out of heaven, cast them out. And so sometimes I think that we get the impression that God cast them out and that's the end of it. It's not. I think of Job a lot whenever I think of this, because Satan at least has access back to heaven. It's hot up here this morning, I'm sorry. Now I could go chasing rabbits here, but I only want to say one thing. People who think that God will not cast them into hell like he did Satan are fooling themselves, because when you choose wrong, there are consequences. Okay? God created hell for Satan, and it's constantly having to be enlarged because of people choosing to reject God. Now, there, Satan and his cohorts and those who reject Jesus, but we're talking about Satan this morning, but Satan's eternal destiny has been chosen by them when they chose to rebel against God, and there is no escaping where they will spend eternity. They've made their choice. Know this, Satan is in complete control over Satan. And although we look around the world today and we see all the bad things that are going on, and we see all the destruction and the death and just the crazy things that are going on in our world, God is still in control. And you say, well, preacher, why would God allow this to happen? It's all coming up to the end when he sends Jesus back to get us. And read the prophecy. It's the birthing pains we're talking about. It's those times of tribulation, not really tribulation period, but hard times before God sends Jesus back. That's what we're going through. But don't lose sight of the fact that God's in control. He's in control. He knows the day. He knows the hour. And he knows exactly how this is all going to come to a head, and he's going to get the glory. I want to talk just a little bit about Job and Satan, okay? Satan was allowed to come back in the presence of God, and after he'd been thrown out of heaven, he does not have his place of power like he did before. Even if he can petition God, Satan was in the presence of God, and God brought up Job. I've talked about Job a lot. Job was a righteous man, and so why did God bring up Job to Satan? Everything that God does, he does for his honor and glory, and God knows how you'll react before you do it. He knew Job would stand strong, and so he gave everything but Job's life to Satan. Satan came back down to this earth and he took everything that Job had except his life. He took his health, he took his family, he took his riches. His friends turned against him. But God knew Job. And because Job knew God. Friend, we are totally capable of having that kind of relationship with God as well. Job was a sinner saved by grace just like us. And so we have that ability to withstand Satan through God. Satan couldn't touch Job until God allowed it. The moral of that story is to stay as close to God as possible, because the closer you get to God, the further away from Satan you get. Okay? God gave everything Job had back, plus many times more. I want to go back a little bit before that in time as we know it. Satan tempted Eve back in the Garden of Eden. And God cursed Satan and told him that he would have to crawl on his belly from then on. Excuse me. There's something in there that's blooming right now that's bothering me, so y'all pray for me. Okay, I want to show you further back than that even, further back than when God cursed Satan and told him he'd have to eat of the dust and that his head would be bruised by the heel of the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ. Back before that, I want to show you what Satan was before he chose to go against God. Now, think about this for just a little bit. We're going to read out of Ezekiel chapter 28, but I want you to get this picture. Satan had everything that people in this world desire. So oftentimes we see Satan's picture or a depiction of Satan as this old red devil, and he's got horns and a pitchfork and a long tail, and he's a real scary individual. Let me tell you, friend, that is not a proper description of Satan. He's beautiful, and he's pleasing, and he's a smooth talker, and he's very powerful. But I want you to see what he was like in heaven before he chose to go against God. Verse 11 of Ezekiel chapter 28. Moreover, this is Ezekiel talking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, the word of God, of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabourets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Stop for just a second. Now, I think of when I read this, I think of the beauty that Satan must have. I mean, think about the things that men today seek in this world, and Satan wore all of that as his garments. Have you ever seen a country music singer on stage with all the sequins and how it glitters? That was dull in comparison to what Satan looked like. He was bright. He was beautiful. And he had the riches of the world. He had it all right where he was at. He'd been in the Garden of Eden. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. In other words, God created him. He was anointed a principle of God's power, and God is the one that chose to put him in that position. Okay? Wasn't anything that Satan did. It's everything that God had done. Okay? You get it? Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, Satan was a perfect creation of God, beautiful, pleasing to the eye, powerful. He had everything. He had everything. But he wanted more. How we can see that in our world today. That people are so blessed with the things that God has given them, and families and churches and health and wisdom. And think of all the wealth that we have in America today. When you say, well, preacher, I'm poor. Well, listen to me. The poor in the United States of America are richer than 99% of the rest of the world, friend. We have it all, and we want more. Just like Satan did. Verse 15, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity or sin was found in thee. Now mankind was the same. I think of Adam and Eve. When they were created there in the garden, in this perfect garden, let me tell you something, friend. Adam and Eve were perfect. There was no sin in them until they chose to eat of the forbidden fruit, and they chose it. Sin drives a wedge between man and God, just like it did between angels and God, because God is righteousness, and He cannot be in the presence of sin. Satan was perfect. Adam and Eve was perfect. How long did Adam and Eve live in the garden? That's a big debate. I don't know if you're an old earth or a new earth type person. I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me because Adam and Eve was there in the garden. They did not age until they sinned. They could have been there billions of years. They could have been there one day. It doesn't change one thing. Sin is what drove the wedge. Sin is what got them cast out just like Satan. They were perfect to that point. Choice. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Oh, that's coming, friend. We're going to talk about it a little later. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, I read all this because I want you to get the picture of what Satan had, what he has now because he chose. He's been cast out of heaven. He has been removed of all the things that God blessed him with, and he has an appointed day to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. We're going to read about that in Revelation 20 here in a little bit. Now, I know that there's different interpretations. If you go out and you read what men have read about these scriptures, I believe, though, that Ezekiel was shown a picture of what Satan was before and after the fall, and he recorded it. This king, this Tyrus, is a picture of what Satan was. Okay, this describes Satan. He was the most beautiful thing God had ever created. Now, that's saying a lot, isn't it? Have you ever traveled around and looked at the majesty of God's creation? I think about the great trees out in Northern California. Have you ever seen them? Pictures do them no justice. God created them. Yosemite, Niagara Falls. Arkansas is a beautiful state. Travel around and look. That's creation of God. But nothing that we see compares to the beauty and the creation of Satan. And he had all of that until he chose to go against God. He was adorned with the glory and the majesty of God. That's what he had. Now, he had it all. But he chose. And I keep saying chose and choose because every one of us has a choice to make, just like Satan and his angels did. He chose to throw it all away because he didn't think it was enough. I think about myself, okay? So I'm sitting here blessed with a great church family, blessed with a beautiful wife and my kids and my grandbabies, and all my friends that I have, and I know how blessed I am, so woe is me if I get to thinking I need more. Why would I ever need more than that? Why should I even want more than that? All I should want to do is thank God for what I have. Because seeking things that God don't want us to have gets us in trouble. Look at Satan. He wanted to be God with a small g. I think oftentimes man also wants to be a small g God because we want to choose how we get to heaven. We want to choose what is moral and immoral, and we want to do all these things that belong to God. And if we choose it our way instead of God's way, then we are placing ourselves in God's position. Have you ever thought about it like that? It's what Satan did. Woe be it unto us if we try to play God, because God is God. We are His creation. Don't fool yourself, kid. We are under His control, just like Satan was. God cast him out of that position. He can do the same to us. Oh, he may be the prince of this world, but he only serves in that capacity until God sends Jesus back to get us. One of these days, God will take that from him, and I look forward to that day. Whenever God looks over to Jesus, who's sitting on the right hand, he says, "Son, go bring my children home." May it be soon. Satan, therefore, knowing his destiny, knowing where he was and how he's been cast out, has one thought on his mind. Now, don't fool yourself, friend. I don't believe that Satan has a prayer. I don't think he even thinks he has a prayer, because he's seen the power of God. He made his bid and he lost. So Satan's cast down here, and he's an angry Satan, and he knows that God has the power. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to take as many of us as he can with him, because that's the evilness of him and his plan. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God," small g, "of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them." So Satan has blinded the world to the greatness of God. And Christians, we're guilty of allowing him to do that. Because when Jesus went back to be in the presence of God, he left his church here to be the light of the world. It's up to us to proclaim the greatness of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. Satan is still in the business of deceiving people, and he's very good at it. I don't know, it's been a little while back, but I preached a sermon. I've preached it a couple times, and since I've been preaching about Satan's tackle box, and some of you may remember it, I've preached it here, that Satan is out there trying to deceive us into biting the bait of sin. And it's dressed up in many different ways. And he's very patient. Time is on his side. And he'll keep casting that bait. And if you're not careful, you'll bite it. And he'll hook you and reel you in. Be careful what you choose. He's still in the business. Many today are blinded by his charms and offers of worldly pleasures. But those are just for a season, a short season. The things that seem like fun and good in this life will come to an end. And excuse me. And then this world will be cleansed by fire. Okay? So everything that we know now is going to come to an end. Prepare for eternity. Okay. Hell. We're going to talk about it for just a little bit. You've heard me preach about hell before, but I wanted to touch on it for just a moment. And as I said earlier, hell was made for Satan and his angels. And if you, in your time, in Matthew 25:41, it said, "Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So hell was created for Satan and his angels, but mankind chooses to go there when they reject Jesus Christ. Okay? God, through his greatness, has given men choice, just like he did his angels. Now, here's what it really amounts to. It's God saying, "My way or the low way." So think about that for a second. Because God's way is the high way, and Satan's way is hell, the low way. So choose. Hell wasn't meant for you, friend, but you can choose to go there. Now, when we choose God, we never have to worry about hell. But I hear people all the time saying, well, my God wouldn't send me to hell. Well, let me tell you something, friend. God won't send you there. You choose to go there. But when you choose to reject Jesus Christ, He will cast you in there. So choose wisely. We know we're not wrestling against just our sin nature. We're wrestling against Satan as well. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm trying to hurry. I got a lot to get through, so I'll try not to keep you past 12:30. I hope you eat your oatmeal this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, he's talking to born-again believers, okay? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Remember, we're not wrestling just against our sin nature. We're wrestling against the principalities and the powers of this earth. Satan and his evil spirits will lead you down a dark path. So, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to let you go and read the rest of those scriptures because of I'm running out of time. But here's what I want you to know. You can read God's Word and you can know what it says, but if you don't put it on, it does you no good. You can have knowledge and not use that knowledge and it not help. You see, we can understand what God is telling us in His Word here, but if we don't actually put on His power to protect us against the wiles of the devil, we lose. I'm not talking about our salvation, by the way. If you're saved, you're always saved. What I'm talking about is your witness and your life, and you lose the opportunity to give God the honor and glory. If you're a born-again believer, Satan can't take that from you. I believe that from the bottom of my soul, and the Scripture backs that up. But he can take your witness. And we can know how to fight Satan, but if we don't call down the power of God, we're not going to withstand the wiles of the devil. So we wrestle not only against our sin nature, but also against Satan and a host of fallen angels. Be prepared. The whole armor of God. You can go down through the list, and I encourage you to read the list and look. And anybody ever seen them old movies like Robin Hood, or you remember Sir Lancelot and all those knights of the Round Table, how they had all this stuff on them, and I don't know how they walked with all that metal or rode a horse, but they did that for their protection. And that's what I see whenever I think of the whole armor of God. And it's light, it's knowledge, it's trust, it's faith in God. And it protects us from being pierced by those fiery darts that Satan is throwing our way. Be prepared. Put on your armor. You know, our son is a state trooper. He's also on the SWAT team. And I see pictures of him. You know, they have body armor. They have the helmets. They have all the stuff that go prepared for whatever might come their way. That's what God is telling us to do. Go prepared for whatever Satan may throw your direction. Put on the whole armor of God. Let me tell you something, friend. That's the only way that you can defeat Satan, is by putting on the armor of God. Now, you have to call down the power of Jesus. And when I say that, I think about when Jesus was being tempted in the desert. Do you remember? He was led out into the desert and he fasted for 40 days and nights, and Satan tempted him. And here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You want to defeat Satan? You want to please God? Call down the power of God. Jesus has already shown us that when he told Satan to get behind him, Satan had to obey. You have that power through Jesus Christ. Okay. Coming up in our near future, possibly, I say that it's the next big event on God's calendar, the rapture. Now, I know you'll never find that word in the Bible, but rapture literally means a calling up or calling away. When is that coming? I don't know. But the signs and the prophecy in God's Word and the things that are going on in this world lead me to believe it could be soon. It could be very soon. And what that really is when God sends Jesus back, and the second coming of Christ is a two-stage event. First time, he's going to come in the air and he's going to call those of our kinfolk that went on before, died and been buried, that trusted Jesus. They're going to be brought forth out of the grave. Go over in 1 Thessalonians 4, you can read of that account. And we that are left alive here on this earth are going to be caught up as well, and we're going to get a new glorified body. Tribulation like this world has never known is coming at that time. And yeah, I know there's a lot of different opinions on when the church would be raptured. I know this. I know this, that God is sufficient no matter when it is. Okay? So, be ready. Choose Jesus. Okay, so we're going to be called up. Okay, depending on when you think the rapture is, then Jesus is coming back and he's going to physically set foot on this earth. And he is finally going to rule as the king that Israel was looking for when he came back then. He's going to rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Satan is going to be bound into this bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and his influence will be no more upon this earth. Boy, I could chase rabbits all over the place right now, but I'm running out of time, so think with me for a second. Satan bound in this bottomless pit, but at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed out of that pit. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. This is important, so think with me for a second. Satan is here on this earth as the prince of darkness, and at some point in our future, Jesus is going to bind him, or going to have him bound, and he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit, and he's going to be sealed for 1,000 years. That's the power of God, my friend. But here's the power of God as well. After that 1,000 years, God or Jesus has the power to release him and then to put him back. You see, I'm afraid that men have this feeling that Satan is more powerful than he is. He's under the direct control of God. Amen. God can lock him up, turn him loose, lock him up, turn him loose. It's at God's will. Okay, 1,000 years is over. Satan's loosed. He's going to gather one last time many people on this earth to do battle against God. Breaking news. You remember the headline is at the bottom as the little ticker tape comes. Satan loses. Fire It is rained down from heaven upon Satan and his cohorts. Okay? Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. I'm trying to hurry. I'm getting all worked up too. Quit looking at your clock, Joyce. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, this always boggled me, but we'll talk about this in length when we go through our Revelation study, when we get there. But many, many people that live through the 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ will reject Christ. Satan's going to gather a great army, okay? And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil, that's Satan, you remember him, Lucifer? Look what happens to him. And the devil that deceived them was cast. Oh, and verbs are important, right? He's not going to walk up there and jump in by himself. God is going to cast him. Oh, by the way, all those people who chose their way, not God's way, which is Jesus Christ, they also will be cast in here, okay? Okay, so it's not going to be a pleasant place. I don't care what anybody's telling you. Hell is bad. The lake of fire and brimstone is even worse. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for how long? Ever and ever. He ain't ever getting out of there again. Newsflash. God is in control. Satan can only defeat you if you don't rely on God's power. I love John 14:6. Y'all know that. I say it a lot. But Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father except by me." This world is full of people that are telling you you can get to God. So many, there's many paths to God. Let me tell you, friend, there's only one way to get to God, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the power of God is the only thing that gets us through this life. How many prayer requests have we had today of people that have stage 4 cancer and even worse, and are going through all these different things that this life brings our way? Listen, friend, I don't know how anybody makes it through that big C word without Jesus. Oh, but preacher, a lot of people die from cancer. Absolutely. A lot of people die from automobile accidents. A lot of people die from heart attacks. Let me tell you something, friend. Everyone will die someday. How, we don't know. Make preparations for your eternal destination while you still have the choice. Because when this body draws that last breath, your choice is made. Well, the devil made me do it. I've heard that stuff. I've even probably been guilty of saying that at some point in my life. Let me tell you something, friend. The devil never made you do anything. He may have tempted you. He may have placed it in your path. But he didn't make you do it. That was a choice. You see, this life is full of choices. Well, preacher, maybe I've made some bad choices in my past. Haven't we all? Amen? You know, the great thing about bad choices in our past is God is faithful and just to forgive us when we repent and turn away from our wicked ways. I remember the lady at the well down there, and Jesus said, "You who are without fault, cast the first stone." This life is all about the choices that we make, but thank God we serve a righteous, loving, caring, forgiving God. When's Jesus coming back? I don't know. I do know He's coming. I believe it with every fiber of my body. The Bible tells me it's so. He's raised from the dead. He's the first fruit of eternal bodily resurrection. And we're getting a body like that. But let me tell you something, friend. The shed blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin. Period. So no matter what you're doing, no matter what, how you're living, God has made a way for you to get into His presence. It's Jesus Christ. But you have to trust and obey. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have to choose Jesus. How do I do that, preacher? Well, the Scripture says, except you be called, you can't be saved. So the Holy Spirit lives here in this church at Oak Hill. I know He lives here. The Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there will I be also in their midst. But you know how I really know that He lives here is because He dwells in me and you that are saved. And when we come together here as a body, we bring Him here. Let me tell you something, friend. That still small voice, that Holy Spirit will draw you to God wherever you're at. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He will draw you to God from there. If you know God, or if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're not living a life that's pleasing to God, He will draw you from there. How do I get closer to God? Repent. That's acknowledging that God is right and we're wrong. I am a sinner. Acknowledge that sin and turn away from our sinful, evil nature. God will help you do that. All you have to do is take the first step. Wherever you're at, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is trust and obey. Call upon the name of the Lord and ye shall be saved. It says, whosoever shall call shall be saved. Well, I'm saved, preacher, but I'm just not living right. All you have to do is repent of that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you when you repent, turn, move forward. And all you have to do is take the first step. You see, He's done everything else for you. I'm going to ask Brother Travis and Sister Linda Gale to come. I want to ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. You see, this morning, it's all about choice. It's all about the choices that you make. And so I urge you to choose wisely today. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in the presence of God here. Your Word, your Son, your Holy Spirit that deals with us. I pray, Lord, that your will be done in each and every heart that's here today. You know the need. Impress upon them, Lord, that when they call upon Jesus, whatever the need, that He is faithful, just, and capable of taking it all away. In Ephesians, we read that we are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we know that Your Word teaches that all things are possible through our faith in Jesus Christ. I can't do anything, Lord, but proclaim Your Word. I call down the power of the Spirit to convict as You see fit, that every life, every heart, every soul that's here might truly be one with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
195, 195. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Savior, Savior.